On this episode of The Playbook, I have Jason Jabot, the VP of Digital for Fleet Feet, and of course, Matt Zeiger, the COO of Fleet Feet. And we're going to talk about why retail is not for the faint of heart. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I have the dynamic duo with me. That's right, Matt Zeiger, the Chief Operating Officer, and Jason Jabot, the VP of Digital and Franchise Operations for the incredible overnight success, Fleet Feet. Welcome to the show, you guys.
Thank you, Dave. Pleasure to be on.
Yeah, you guys have been around a long time, but yet this may be your glory year. This is the Super Bowl season. You have positioned and evolved over time. So I'd love to talk about the evolution of the company, because everyone sees even your company as an overnight success. And I always laugh. There's no such thing. It's obviously you have evolved to the position you're in. If you give us a little history and lessons that you've learned along the way.
So Jason, you've been with the company for a lot longer and seen it in many different phases. Why don't you take that one?
Yeah, you know, Fleet Feet was founded in 1976, so that was over 40 years ago. So if we're an overnight success, it's been a 40-plus year overnight success. I think several iterations, but really the sort of core values and the mission of the original founding of the brand hold true today. And I think, how we take care of each individual customer that comes in the door. And the brand was founded by two women, entrepreneurs, pioneers at the time in 1976, opened up in a Victorian home in downtown Sacramento. And really, they were trying to open up a place for people to go and have a great experience and find running shoes. At the time, it was kind of even hard to find it, right? Unless you were part of the cult following, trying to, be a part of the running craze at that time. And over time, as customers sort of had that experience, they wanted to open up their own stores. And that has sort of been the organic growth strategy that has happened for Fleet Feet over the last 40 years. And still today, it's all about helping each individual that comes in the door.
And through that 40-year evolution, there's been different challenges, economic, socioeconomic, political, and also just strategic challenges. How does today's challenges compare to other challenges that the company's faced?
Being a franchise model and you have a lot of owner operators, you're always balancing the business in the context of a small business and in a corporate setting. And so the COVID-19 created an incredible amount of uncertainty for all of us. And we really had to come back to, operating like a family and figuring out this pandemic and the implications on retail together. And there was no playbook for us to be able to follow. And I'm incredibly happy that we are, as a business today, are a stronger business than we were 4 months ago. We really have the same franchise pool of owners. They're incredibly resilient. And we feel like we can endure significant challenges. But this one was by far the first time we ever had to close all of our stores at the same time and figure out a new way. And Jason's team was poised to bring new digital strategies online and for us to be able to generate sales and move inventory very quickly to keep the stores moving forward with cash flow. Jason, do you want to just touch on that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. We built an e-commerce strategy and went live with it about 6 years ago. And as we just talked about, the brand's 40 years old. And so that was, at the time, pretty revolutionary, for a brick and mortar, locally owned and operated retailers. And so we had to figure out how are we going to open up or start e-commerce for a brand that looks and acts like us, that is rooted in local, and is all about serving each individual customer that comes in the door. And so we ended up building a model that really honors that local ownership piece. And for every pair of shoes or anything sold online, we have a revenue share model where our franchisees are earning money as well alongside, the company. And That has played really well for the brand. And just because of that infrastructure, when COVID-19 hit and we had to really, you know, we saw a lot of stores close and they had to pivot online, they were ready. And actually it's like, well, we actually also fulfill all the online orders from the local stores. And so they were able to, you know, stay busy, keep orders moving. And we saw this just explosion online, which allowed a lot of people to keep cash flow moving and keep the brand relevant to consumers.
You know, what's so interesting about, you know, you have 182 or so franchises yourself, you've been around for so many years, and yet the technology is focused in on today. Everyone's talking about, you know, the great systems that we've created. Some did it like Blaze Pizza within a couple weeks. Others have been built like you over 6 years prepared. But I have found the companies that are most successful, and you guys have had, you know, well over 300% increase in e-commerce sales in June alone. You guys are growing at extraordinary rates. You've created a system of fairness within the context of online versus brick and mortar. People who have made investments of their lives into your brand and into your brick and mortar stores. But I don't think people realize that one of the most critical components that I see you guys kicking butt in, better than, you know, I get to see so many different companies doing well, not doing well, is the last mile, right? From the thousands of curbside pickups to the thousands, over 40,000 appointment bookings to the customization and fitting opportunities. These are different things that I think a lot of companies that may have been grown up in the digital world and don't have the perspective of a traditional business to realize that customer experience, the emotional attachment to your brand, is most critical. How have you addressed that emotional connection that people have to your brand to effectuate the satisfaction and you know, satisfaction and fulfillment of that last mile experience that they still feel like they're interacting with somebody in a brand?
That's a really relevant question. There's a few different ways I think that we can answer it. One is, you know, I just talked about our local fulfillment model, that the stores are fulfilling those orders. For the most part, all of those orders that are fulfilled have a handwritten note that goes alongside with that order, right? That, you know, might inquire, you know, or, you know, thank the customer for their purchase or just, you know, give them like a note of encouragement. That's one way. I think because the business is so personal, you know, our franchisees, you know, our local business owners and our operators are operating in such a local way, they take great care in the last mile. When we launched curbside pickup, which, you know, we've had e-commerce for the last 6 years, we had dabbled in curbside pickup and didn't have a lot of success a few years ago and had kind of put it on hold until COVID hit. And then we brought it right back up and went live with it and immediately saw a huge uptick in those orders. But our franchisees and, you know, our employees, they were immediately calling customers. If they place a curbside pickup order, they were calling to check in on them and make sure they knew exactly what to do to get to the store and how the customer wanted to handle it. Like if we're bringing the order right out to their car or how we were going to work with them. And so there's just that personal touch that's involved along the way. And so in our model, it's kind of like that is the name of the game, is sort of that personalization at every step of the way in terms of how we get to know the customer and how we try to present a personalized solution to them to, you know, just the personal touch at every point.
And Matt, you're the chief operating officer of Fleet Feet, and I'm trying to press upon a lot of the entrepreneurs and freelancers, new freelancers that exist today, that the key component of what we do is to really identify our own skills, our own knowledge of the what and who we know, and coincide it with the desires that we have. And obviously having a key executive role at such a great company wasn't given to you overnight as well. How have you aligned your skills, knowledge, and desire as you came over to Fleet Feet, and how do you do it today to take advantage of what's doing well, what's stable, and maybe even what you think will do well in the next few years as we come out of this interesting time?
Yeah, so I was fortunate to have worked in an organization previous to Fleet Feet that was very people development oriented. And as I transitioned into what I would say is my passion role, I realized that this is every bit a people organization. And so the experience, how we develop our staff, how we treat our staff, recognize our staff, especially in a time like COVID. You know, we've asked our staff to create the same level of brand loyalty and experience 6 feet away from when they used to. We used to cradle a foot. Today we don't cradle a foot, and they have to find a way to ensure that those customers see that we're there for them and their experience. And so I think it really comes down to making sure that our number one asset in our business to deliver experience is our people, whether it's through fulfillment on e-com or customers in the stores. And as we come out of this, that's not going to change. And so we'll have to continue to invest in our teams, show our appreciation. And if we do that really well, the Fleet Feet brand is going to continue to be very successful and be a 100-year brand someday.
Absolutely. And like most great companies, they realize people first. And Jason, you're the VP of Digital and Franchise Operations at Fleet Feet. You obviously are looking for certain types of people to work with. What are some of the things that you look for? You know, a lot of people will be through transition right now. A lot of entrepreneurs are transitioning within their organizations and outside their organizations. What are some of the things that you're looking for in people that you feel create the successful cultural environment that you want?
That's a great question. I think people are everything, kind of to Matt's point. And in franchising, you know, you're getting married. And so you're really looking for the right person that you want to be married to. And I'm probably going to hand this question back to Matt a little bit, because he really helps with the franchise selection a little bit more than I do. But, you know, we have some great people in the brand today. And I think their love for the working with customers and for the business model itself is really kind of the key ingredient. But I'll let Matt kind of take that one.
Yeah, I think I would just add that avid learners, great listeners, people who seek to collaborate, people who have resiliency. Retail is not for the faint of heart. It's hard. It's harder than a lot of people appreciate. And so if you look for those folks that can deliver consistent customer experience, they can listen to their customers, they're avid learners, they're going to grow in the brand, and they're going to be successful. And if they're successful, we will be successful. So
that's awesome. And Jason, back to you, since I'll align a better question to you. You are a world-class athlete and have been, and obviously within the context of working with Fleet Feet, being a track and field Olympic qualifier yourself, what aspects of being a world-class athlete have you been able to incorporate into your professional career? There's a lot of people, number one, that love sports, so they think they can work in sports. And two, there's great athletes that just feel that because I'm a great athlete, that somehow I'm going to be a great executive for an athletic company or a sports company. For you, what were some of the characteristics and skills that you have transitioned over from being a world-class athlete into a world-class company?
Well, it's very generous of you to say world-class athlete, so I'll take it for this interview. But
trust me, I'm an average Division III football player. So anyone that's an Olympic qualifier to me, I cleared 15 feet, 6 inches in the pole vault. That's not world-class. So you're world-class in my book.
They do say the pole vault is the hardest event, though. So that's,
well, if you have no speed, no strength, and you're 5'7", it absolutely was a tremendous feat.
I would say probably the biggest thing transitioning from being an athlete into the business world is probably two things. It's one, self-efficacy, like the belief that you can accomplish things. And it just, you know, when you're an athlete, you're kind of continually facing this friction of like, is the thing I really want to do, is it possible? And there's a lot of hurdles in your way all the time. You're endlessly, you know, trying to problem solve to get that workout in and make sure your diet's good and get sleep and all those sorts of details, right, that go into being an athlete. And in business, it's the same, you know? And so the belief that you can still accomplish that big goal, that big hairy goal you've got out in the future, knowing it's going to take that grind, that daily grind, I think is the biggest thing. And the second thing is just that it is a transition, you know, like being an athlete is one thing, and but it's very, very focused. You're trying to do one thing. And in business, there's, you know, there's a variety of different sort of goals and things and different departments and people you're going to be working with. And it gets a lot more complex. Real life's a lot more complex than being an athlete. No offense to athletes. And so learning how to balance that and just really, you know, it kind of is a decision to say, I'm going to apply the same mindset that made me successful as an athlete to business. It is different though. There is a transition. I won't lie to you. It wasn't that simple or easy to make the transition.
And Matt, you know, going back to you on the complementary pragmatic, you know, kind of raised as a more corporate CPA, straight-laced executive, and yet you really have a great creativity about you. One of the things that I love about Fleet Feet on the customization side is the ability that you guys have with the dynamic pressure mapping, 3D scanning of the foot. You know, I work, believe it or not, for Roadrunner Sports at 4 a.m. selling all types of shoes and learn technologies in the different carbon and, you know, Thurlow socks, et cetera. But I always felt that the most important part of our bodies, according to the weekend warrior especially, is the feet. And yet nobody ever paid attention to, you know, the quality of how the differentiation, you know, I'm a flat foot or a high arch or stubby toes or whatever may, you guys have really created technology that customize, because I think without the customization, that causes half the injuries, I believe, in sports or people. It's why John Wooden, he actually trained people on how to tie his shoes. Right, every freshman that came into UCLA, because he knew how important the feet were. You know, utilizing that technology, what type of differentiation do you think it gives Fleet Feet over its competitors?
I mean, it starts with our partners. And so, you know, we've partnered with Superfeet and with Volumental, and we've brought forward a technology with 3D scanning that is certainly unique to us in the run specialty space. That gives us an opportunity to be relevant and to be different. And so, look, we're fighting for every customer to come through the doors like our competitors, and it allows us to tell a slightly different story, but it creates a platform for evolution. And I think in the end, all of us have to figure out how to constantly evolve. And we talk about personalized products. And if we show success with the pressure mapping and the 3D scanning, that allows us to open the ideas up for new products and new vendor introductions. And the more we do that as a brand, the more we create the reason for people to come in to shop with us and to experience our incredible customer service. And ultimately, we have to deliver on those messages consistently and bring something new to market. And both of these technologies allow us to think about that going forward.
That's awesome. And just last question, you know, through the pandemic, we've never experienced something like that. Not that we ever experience the same things again and again, but this is extraordinarily different with accelerated change. One which was ultimately going to occur, it just happened in a compressed time. You know, I believe life is about lessons and so is business. And both of you are well-versed on and off the track. You're well-versed in a variety of different skills and capabilities. I'd love for you to share either your number one takeaway during this period of change, or your number one lesson that you've learned. Matt, you want to go first?
Sure. So we learned that we can handle a pretty difficult situation and come out of it strong. But I do think our number one lesson, if I had to think about it, is we didn't invest back in inventory fast enough. We were worried about the uncertainty, about how long we might be closed, that we our cash preservation mode overtook our tendencies to invest in inventory timely. And so if I was going back 90 days, I'd make a different decision on that.
Excellent. And Jace?
I think you're always preparing for the thing that's about to happen next. And so if hindsight's 2020, I wish I could go back in time and have prepared even faster, you know, and had pushed even a little harder. For whether it's appointment scheduling or curbside pickup and, you know, things that we thought were important and we were moving on, but, you know, maybe we could have been faster. And I think that's a lesson that I think that I've learned. And I think the brand has sort of learned as well, is that let's move, let's get ready. And not that you're planning for something bad to happen, but that, you know, the more shored up the business model is, the better we'll be and more prepared we'll be for anything that comes our way.
Absolutely. I think the dynamic duo knows that pain's just an indicator, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and financial pain, just an indicator that you have a lesson to learn, a better direction, and a better place to be. And you guys are proving it with Fleet Feet. I am so grateful that you're here. This is David Meltzer here with Matt Zeiger, the Chief Operating Officer, and Jason Jabbat, VP of Digital and Franchise Operations for Fleet Feet on Entrepreneurs The Playbook.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.